The Bir Agro that we are going to focus on is one line, as we often do, in what he says in the end of his Biur on Pasuk Tes Vav. But before that, I wanted just to go through two others, just for the sake of being consistent. So we're up to Pasuk Yud Gimel in Perek Yud of Mishle, and the Pasuk says, B'sifsei Novain Tim Timotzei Chochma. Chochma will be found. Chochma is Lashon Akeva, so it's Timotzei, it will be found. Where? In Sifsei Novain, on the lips of someone who has Tevuna, a Novon. Like it says by Yosef, Ein Chochom V'Novain Kamoicha. So that comes, of course, from the Sherish that has to do with Bina as opposed to Chochma. So it's very interesting. B'sifsei Novain Timotzei Chochma. It doesn't say Timotzei Bina, it says Timotzei Chochma. And V'Shevet Legev Chasar Lev. And according to the Gra, interestingly enough, the Gra doesn't see here something completely separate, but a continuation. In other words, in the Sifsei Novon, you will have two things. You'll have Chochma for the Chochom, and you'll have Musar for the person who's Chasar Lev. And Legev, Chasar Lev, is like, it's not really a physical bite, a physical stick, to beat the Chasar Lev over the back, but it is a word punishment. It's a punishment, it's a criticism of words which acts like a rod of punishment. So the Shevet, Legev Chasar Lev, Shevet of course, Shivtecho Mishantecho Emei Nachamuni, Shevet is what? V'chachtiv B'Shevet Mishor V'Nigiv Bnei Adam B'Shevet Piv, I mean, is often used. It means the mouth acts as a rod of punishment, of criticism. So that's V'Shevet Legev Chasar Lev. The Sifsei Novon are also a Shevet on the back of the Chasar Lev. So the Vilna Gaon says, "B'sifsei novin timotzei chochma kloima. B'sifsei shalan novin b'sfasayim shalan novin timotzei achochma. Shehu aderech hayosher echlis naig es atzmai. V'gam timtzaboy hashevet asher legev chasar lev. Shalan novin yoidea derech hatoiv. V'gam yoidea oinu shal v'shoyim shesoru el derech hara." V'nikru chasar lev, shezeh hefuch novin shalev mevin. V'zeh shesor min ha-Torah, v'ein eroitz alohavin hu chasar lev. So lev and bina are always connected. If he's chasar lev, he doesn't have a heart, means he doesn't have a capacity for bina, or he doesn't have a desire for bina. Because he is sor min ha-Torah, v'ein eroitz alohavin, that person is called a chasar lev. So the Sifsei Novoin are Chochma for himself, and also a punishment or a Teichocha for the Chasar Lev. The rest of it is Kabbalah, that the Talmud of the Gra tried to elaborate here, which is not our Asik right now. So we go to the next Pasuk. Chachomim Yitzpenu Das Upi Evil Mechita Kereiva. Look the going. Chachomim Yitzpenu Das. Now Tzafon, by the Haggadah Shel Pesach, what is Tzafon? You hide, you put away the Afikoyman. V'loyochlo oid hatzfinoi. Moshe Rabbeinu grew up, and she was no longer able to hide this baby, so she put him in the Teva on the river. And v'titzpenoi, by the Meraglim, we're going to have it, by the Meraglim that went, Yeshua and Pinchas, and she hid them. It's Lashon Yochid, but it's Benoi, because Pinchas was invisible. So the word Tzafon and Hatzpinoi and Vatitzpinoi, it's all the same thing. The Chachomim Yitzpinu Das, they will hide their Das. Zokt the Goy, Kloima, Hachachomim, Afilu Mashi Yoidim B'Sichlam, Umasigim, V'loi Yoitziu Mipiem, Heim Shomrim Shaloi Yishkechu. So what is the Goyim trying to say? I would have thought that what the Goyim would have said is very simply that there are many in Yonim that a Chacham does not want to reveal, because the opportunity that he has at this moment does not lend itself to that kind of revelation. The people are not royal lekach, they're not on the madrega, whatever it is. What is an example of that? So the pasuk says yishmeru das, and mefarshim say yishmeru is from the lashon of preserving. It means he keeps the das for himself. The Vilna Gaon obviously learned that yishmeru means he preserves it as a memory. In other words, the Gaon learned this pasuk, and maybe also the pasuk of kisif sekai yishmeru das, very differently. He says, usually we remember the things that we need to use, so that something that is inert, it's in the back of our minds and we haven't had the occasion to use it, usually we don't reflect upon it, we don't chazer it over, and generally because of that we don't remember it as well. So he says the real chacham, even things that he does not intend to give out at this moment, but he makes sure to preserve it and to remember it. So the pasuk is saying chachamim yitzpenu das, is the sense that they store the da'as away in a manner that they can remember it. And that's what he says, shelo yishkechu. Upi evil mechitok raiva. What is the contrast? Zok de goy, avol ha'evil, shehu anaf mi pesi, kanal. Pesi is a general category, and a subcategory, anaf, means a branch from the tree. The tree is the pesi. And the branch of the tree, one of the kinds of pesi, is an evil. So the pesi, who is an evil, kanal the enoy mesim liboy al hasoif, afilu masherogil hoya befiv enoy som liboy lazois v'shoicheach. So the opposite, according to the Gra, is that even something that he's used to and that is current and that he wants to give over to others, he still doesn't pay attention to remember it for the next time. I just wanted to make an interesting ha'ara. I remember that when I was learning by my Rebbe, the most dangerous thing when you wanted to remember something is to think that this is pashut. There were times that he was masbir something so clearly that you didn't even realize afterwards. So what was the big kasha altogether? And when a person thought that, it was sakonas nefashis. Why? Because when a person thinks that this is pashut, he does not store it away. It's a given. It's the, of course. That, of course, kills the memory. Later on, what happens? You chazer over the same shtickl gemara, you learn the same Ramban, and you'll inevitably ask the question that was asked. And you won't remember what the teretz was. Now, how could that be? That it was 2 days ago pashut, and now you can't even remember it. The teretz is exactly that. Memory requires that somebody should feel the acuteness and the need of that acuteness. What is it coming to answer? The moment that the brain says, avada, that's not even stored. Moshe l'moha dova doimeh. You have a telephone number. You don't need the telephone number tomorrow. So you look at a telephone book, and the short-term memory is good enough that for the next 3 minutes, you'll remember the number. Some people can't remember the number after they take their eyes away from the telephone book. But there are people who can remember it for a very short time. Why don't those same people remember the number forever? Because the nature of our minds is that which is really important, we preserve much better than things that are not important. Once I have a piece of information and it's been used, I don't need to store that. Not that the mind doesn't have the capacity, it's almost an infinite capacity. There's no problem in remembering it. It doesn't displace anything. It's not like a glass that if you pour in X amount of marbles, you won't be able to pour in that much water. It's not like that. The memory can remember and remember and remember. Vaharaya, we sit down and we memorize, we can memorize an entire telephone book also. But we don't need the information. A corollary of that, an anaf to the pesi is the evil. A corollary of that is that if we think we know it already, we're finished. Because the memory simply does not induce itself. It does not introduce itself into the person's agenda. He's not mechuyev to remember that which he understands perfectly. Because when the thing comes up again, he'll understand it very well at the time. But since it really is a tifat yisoid, and since it isn't the pasha pshat the way a person would normally read something, so as simple as the answer is, it requires the chokmah of providing it. And the moment the person says it's Pashut, he's finished. They once asked the Meshech Chochma, how is it that he remembers every single Tosfos in Shas? So he says, it's not so much that I have a photographic memory. It's that, he said, you ever witness an accident or some astonishing moment in your life that's different than anything else, and you remember it forever? Like, where were you at 9/11 type of thing? So he says, that's the way I see every single Tosfos. You know, when there's that excitement and that freshness and that uniqueness that a person sees, that this is something astonishing, this is something gewaldic, it's much easier to remember. When a person simply passes through, it's very difficult to remember. Just Derech Agav, there was a scientist that was working on the concept of absent-mindedness. Like, what is that all about? And they came to a maskona that if a person thinks that he already has something in his pocket, he goes weiter. But he really doesn't have it in his pocket yet. And that's the Nakuda. When somebody, that's why absent-minded professors, why do they call them absent-minded professor? Because absent-mindedness is usually found in a person that's very sharp, that has a very good head. He thinks that a trigger is going to be established by a remez ba'alma. He can see the first part of the sentence, so to speak, and he thinks he already knows the rest of it. The same thing when you have to do something. The memory has to say, at this and this point, you will have to take care of X. It's not enough for the brain to simply say, that has to be done. There has to be a focus. And he doesn't need the focus, because B'Shas Maisi, he has it like in a snap. The brain did not process it for long term, or for longer term. And that's why he when he comes to the L'Maisi Shabbai, it's not there at all. That was their way of explaining it. But be that as it may, the Gro is contrasting here these two extremes. The person who's a Chacham, he preserves even things that he doesn't need at the moment. And the one who's an Evil, he doesn't preserve even the things that he will need in an hour from now. So that's the Goyin's Pshat in this Pasuk. So again, Chachomim Yitzpenu Das, even though it's Tzafun, it's hidden for the future, Upi Avil, in his mouth, the Torah is already there. Mechita Kroiva, he's going to have a disaster coming any moment. Va'od, Zok de Gra, not only is he Shochech, but I'll give you another Pshat. Chachomim Yitzpnu Das, Chachomim Mastirim Mashem Yoidim Ve'enu Megal. Now he comes to the Pshat that we assume is the Pasha Pshat of Kisif Sekayin Yishmeru Das, preserves the Das. Va'zokta, the Chachomim hide what they know. Avol Evil Eino Yochel Ahas De Beliboy Umoitzi Tekev Mipiv Va'al Yedei Zeh Mechita Kroiva. He doesn't explain why Mechita Kroiva. What is the disaster if he's Motzi Mipiv right away? Because generally speaking, the reason that the Evil is Motzi Mipiv is a gaiva of wanting to show off. And generally such people, they let out everything they know, which isn't much, and it's very easy to trip them up and to catch them. There was once there's a joke, I don't know if it was a Maaseh Shehoya, it could have been a Maaseh Shehoya. There was a certain Rebbe that was Oyel L'Gdula because he yarshened the Rebistva, and he never said a word of Torah. Never. No matter how much they prodded him, Shalashudas, the Yomim Tovim, never said anything. So finally somebody came over to one of his Yedidim and he said, a Yedid Nehurim, he said, Rebbe, you know, people eventually are going to think that you don't know. He says, if I say anything, they'll know that I don't know. Better that they should think it. But it's still a shtickel suffix. So the truth is that Evil, by talking, is really undoing himself. The Chacham doesn't need that. He doesn't need the world to know what he knows, because he knows what he knows. So Memela, his Mahalach is Lahastir Mashehem Yoidim. The next Pasuk. Hoin Oshir Kiryas Uzoi Mechitas Dalim Reisha. Hain Oshir. Ha Oshir, Ika Veshoigash Uzai, Hushayesh Loi Hain. He says, the strength of the Oshir is that he has money in his pocket. He has money in the bank. And whenever he needs, when he has a moment of need or crisis, he can always summon up that money. And therefore, his reliance on it is like the Oiz, the strength of the Oshir. Lachain Kasha Yizdamin Ace Srichas Hamos. Heimlo lemoz ve'eno tzarich limkor bishvil zeh sha'ar dover bezol. When a person's in a crisis situation, he has to unload, and it, of course, is going to go on the market at a very low price. Either it's not the right time, or just because there's so much of it, he's not going to get, or because they sense his desperation. Whatever the reason is, he's not going to get the price that he needs. But a Oshir who has a very nice nest egg, so even if he has a tzarech for money, he never has to sell because he has the money in the bank. So Choyin Oshir, this is going to be his oiz. V'chein kasha yizdami nochamol eis tzrichas hamoz. Heim lo lemoz, they are going to be for him a fortress of strength. Ve'eino tzarech limkar b'shvil zeh sha'ar davar, anything that he has in his possession bezol for less than it's worth. Mechitas dalim reisham. Here we have again the word mechita. Mechitas dalim, the undoing of the dal. Dal, he, interestingly enough, he learns that the word dal does not mean a person who is poor from birth. He learns that dal is somebody who became poor. Somebody who had and lost his money. And he learns, in the parentheses, the Talmud learns that dal comes from the word remove, to take away, like dal mehocha. That's an Aramaic term, so I don't know, but that's how he understands it. But in any case, mechitosamu she'ein lohem be'is tzarchem, ve'heim tzrichim limkar al hezek ubezol. For inyan, so what is it? What is the marshal? What is the marshal trying to teach us about Torah and mitzvahs? Shatamid chacham shalomdu harbe, shatamid chacham shalomdu harbe, v'tachas yodam akol, shalay shachuchu klal v'yoydin al buryam. Zeu ahon lohem kiryasoz, shogesh ha'onof, v'loshin kiryas liboy. He says the Torah that's preserved for the Talmud chacham gives him his strength. He's now talking about not somebody who's learning, but somebody who preserves and remembers everything he learned. And what's the consequence? What's the comparison to not having to sell bezoil because he has the money la'esat tzorech? Hashem kosher lehem b'mokam zeh mitartzim imokam acher. The fact that they know so much allows them to borrow from what they learned into what they are learning now. So therefore, they can be mitaritz even davar ha'kosher lehem. So the Goyin says that the opposite is a person who does not remember and does not preserve the Torah that he learned, that whenever he encounters a sugya, the consequence of not knowing other sugyas and not knowing the scope of the Torah is that he's stuck in his place and he does not have the answer. So I wanted to go into this a little bit, b'negeya, the idea of preserving what you learn. As since the Goyin quotes a Gemara, it's kedai for us to go a little bit into that Gemara. Interestingly enough, the Gemara has several statements and I wanted to discuss it a little bit in the time that we have. Gemara is in Tainus at the bottom of Zayin Amid Bey's top of Daf Ches Amid Aleph. Rish Lakish Amar, Imra Isa Talmid Shelimudo Kosha Olav Kabarzo. He says, if you see a Talmid that just can't figure things out, it's difficult for him to learn, to comprehend. Limudo Kosha Olav Kabarzo. Bishvil, what is the reason for this? Mishnaso She'eno Sedura Olav. It's a pasuk in Koheles, which the Gemara there was learning in variety of ways, and this is the way that Rish Lakish learns. My takante, what is the etza? Yarbe b'yeshiva. Shneamar v'chayolim yagber v'yisroin hachshe chochma. Kol shgein im mishnosay sedura loy meyikara. Ki hod Rish Lakish have a misader masnite arboim zimnin. Before he came to Rabbi Yochanan, he chazed over his learning 40 times. And it says here that the reason that he stopped at 40, because this was a remez of the 40 days that the Torah was given to Moshe Rabbein. Ravada Barava did similarly. He chazed over 24 times. Masade Masnise Esten Varba Zimnin Kineged Torah Neviim Uksuvim the Chavdal and Kisvei Hakodesh VaAyel Lekami Derov. So this Chazal, let's take a look at Rashi. Shalimudai kasha alav kabarzel, shekasha loy meirav kushyais, bishvil mishnasai she'ena sedura loy, ve'ena zeicher maksivba, ulefikach ena yodea lefarik. It's mamish word for word what the Goyin said is taken from this Rashi. And since he doesn't know, in another place he's not able to answer. Inami shegar sabatos, this itself is not clear to him because he didn't learn it properly to begin with. Paiter alachiyuv umachayiv alaptur umakshi ala miduchta achriti, and he doesn't understand that his kasha doesn't even begin because he misunderstood the Gemara in the first place. V'achi mashmakra v'hu loy she'eno yodei shmoasei mipnei she'ponim kilkel she'kilkel b'mishna she'hi koydim le'gemara. In other words, if he would have known Mishnah so, he would have understood the pilpul of the sugya, which is the Gemara in their days. So for us, it would be the Gemara based on the Rishonim, or the Rishonim based on the Achronim, or the Achronim based on our Havana. As long as we don't have the proper background, as long as we don't understand the basics, we will never get the rest of it right. So what's the Eitzah? Yarba b'yeshiva. Before he starts in the Gemara, in the time of Rashi, before he gets involved in the Pilpul and the Iyun and Lohavin Dover Mitach Dover, he should get his Mishnah straight. She has diru b'nei yeshiva mishnasam. Shenema v'chayolim bein talmidim she'in chayolos chayolos yagber. V'yisren hachshel chachma. K'shesida mishnasam mitchila, then he will provide the proper context for his wisdom. Kenegad arboim yom shenitna Torah, Shlokish learned over 40 times, shetiskayim biyodai, v'hadar ayol kamid Rav Yochanan l'migma Gemara. So Rashi is very consistent. What does it mean that he learned his Torah before he came to Rav Yochanan? He's supposed to learn with Rav Yochanan. So what Torah did he learn before Rav Yochanan? The answer is, all of the Yediyas HaTorah, which they were armed to be able to be mefalpel. That Yediyas HaTorah, he has it over 40 times. When he came to Rabbi Yochanan to be mefalpel in the Gemara, the shakla v'tarya, the machloikasim that they had, the challenges to one another, Rabbi Yochanan considered Rish Lakish the best chavrusa possible in the world because he constantly challenged him, ki yadua. That is something that you can't challenge from the luften, because if you're challenging from the luften, you don't even know that the Poshup Shad is something entirely different, because you didn't get the Mishnah Sedura Befiv. So to get the Mishnayis means the background knowledge that you need. In each door, that's called Mishnah. And in each door, Gemara is the pilpul and the Havana of Meivin Dover, Mitoch Dover, and the pilpul Asugya. Wherever you're coming from, you have to know that well before you can be Mefalpul. Another way of saying this, the famous vart of the Kloisenberger, Zechayna Levracha L'chayel Amaba, he said, I don't understand how people can be mefalpel in a Rashi on Daf Beis when they don't even know that a Rashi exists on Daf Ches. This is the same idea. You can't get involved in something unless you already have the background, whatever that background is for the thing that you need. So this is what the Gemara says according to Rashi. And Keneged Arboim Yom Shenitna Torah. What about Keneged Torah Nevi'im Meksuvim? Zot Rashi Sheheim Esrim V'Abo Esfarim. That's the Chav Dalet Kisvi HaKodesh. The Marshal, Marshal Chidush HaGodos. Baha, the Arboim Yom I understand. Baha Ika Taima, the Moshe Nami Sidron Baisem Mem Yom. Ulchol HaPokos Pam Achaz B'chol Yom. Avu Keneged Chav Dalet Torah Nevi'im Meksuvim Ein Kan Tam Mevurar. He understands why a person should do it 40 times, because the way the Torah was originally given to Moshe Rabbeinu was also given it 40 times. Because Mashal learns that every one of those 40 days, he has it over what he had learned. Because Chazal tells us that even then he wasn't able to acquire it, Mekodesh Baruch Hu gave it to him b'matonim. The Chav Dalet Kisvei HaKodesh, he doesn't understand. The truth of the matter is, I wanted just to make a ha'ara, maybe we can explain. It says in the Pasuk, Vayiten al Moshe kechaloisei ledabe itoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kechaloisei ledabe itoi. After he finished teaching him the Torah, Chazal say that a kala has chav dalet kishutin. I think the pshat is this. The idea that is being presented here in the Gemara according to Rashi is that you have a certain seder ledavar, which is your Mishnah, which you need in its entirety before you can focus in any single place for your iyun and your pilpul. And if you don't have that background, either you will not be able to draw upon it, which is bad enough, or you'll even be makalkal the thing itself because the Mishnah, even where you are at, is not yet completely in your hand. By the way, just derech agav, before I even continue, there's another thing about understanding that is a very, very big problem. People see something and they understand it in the sense that they hear what you are saying. And that kind of understanding is very low level, but many times people don't realize it. Because they think that if they hear it, and it's comprehensible, in other words, it's not gibberish. I remember I used to give drushes, and one of the Malabatim used to come over to me and say, "Rabbi, why do you continue speaking in Greek?" So I say, "Greek?" He says, "It's Greek to me." You know, this was the famous... So, listen, there was nothing I could do. I mean, you know, that's like he doesn't even get... But a lot of people, because it's not Greek to them, they think they understand it. And that's also a tremendous chesaron for the memory and a tremendous chesaron for the havana itself. Just because a thing sounds right does not mean either that you've acquired it or even that you know what you're saying. Especially in Torah, which is very complicated and complex. So the idea that Rashi is presenting, that if he doesn't chazer over 40 times, he may not even know the thing itself that he's learning well enough, and he won't realize that the kasha eipsach nishton, and he doesn't understand really what he's learning. But even if he would, he would not be able to draw upon the oitzer of Torah, because the other parts of Torah he hasn't learned yet. So the first thing you have to do is be mesader the Mishnah. Now everybody knows that the Gaon's agenda, especially towards the latter part of his life, was to prove and to show that every single piece of Torah Shebaal Peh is anchored in Torah Shebichsav, somewhere. And this for him was a critical yesod, that the Torah Shebaal Peh is not a separate entity. And he said this in 100 different ways. And therefore, in the Chav Dalet Kisvei HaKodesh, there are the anchors for each and every piece of Torah. And I think that that's where the Chav Dalet idea comes from of chazering over 24 times. It represents the relationship where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving b'matana the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, but in the structure of the Chav Dalet Kishutin Shel Kala, Kechaloisei L'daber Itay. What does it have to do with a Kala? The Torah says because the Kishutin is not the Kala. Kishutin is not the Kala. But the Kishutin are Mochiach on the Kala. It's the same thing with the Psukim. The Psukim are not the Torah itself. Because the Torah is much more and much more elaborate, and sometimes you don't even realize why this particular Yalfus or this particular Drash is being learned. Because there's a whole Chochmah and a whole, much of which is lost to us. How did they derive this particular halacha from this pasuk? Even we have a Gemara that teaches us what that derivation was. We don't know how they got to it. But the fact that it's connected to these psukim is a raya that these psukim, in a certain sense, have in them the simonim, the triggers of that oitzer of Torah, which is Torah Shebaal Peh. So memela, I think that's where the remez of 24 times comes into the picture. Doesn't shter the Marsha, because the Marsha wasn't looking for a Muslim. He was looking for that the exact same thing happened. Why 40 times? Because Moshe Rabbeinu did it 40 times. But Chav Dalet Kisvei HaKodesh, you don't have that. He's right. But just where does that idea come from? Bechlal, why pick that number? Pick 13 because they're the Midah Shatar and the Drashas Bohem, etc. So I think it comes from this notion of the Chav Dalet Kishutin. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he gave it to Moshe, he gave it to him with these Chav Dalet Kishutin. Now, there is another Gemara. Let's go back to the Gemara in Tainus, where I left off. Rava Omar, Im Ra'isa Talmid Shalimudai Kosha Lov Kabarzel, Bishvil Rabbi She'enu Mazbir Loiponim, Shenem Avahu Loiponim Kilka. So it's a very unusual Gemara. The Gemara says earlier that if you see a person that does not have a clarkite in his learning, it's simply because he didn't have the proper background and preparation. Comes along Rava, and apparently he learns that even if you would have the background and the preparation, you still might not have a clarkite if you don't have a hiskashrus to your Rebbe. Meaning, in other words, if the Rebbe shows you a ponim, lo yisoy chakos, If the Rebbe shows you a sour face, if he pushes you away, you will not be able to concentrate, nor will you be able to ask him any kashas. And the Mela, your Mishnah, as dura as it might have been, but you will not be able to preserve your Torah. So your learning will be kosher kabarzel. So the learning of today is either because you didn't have the right preparation, or because what's going on today doesn't give you the peace of mind to be able to focus on your learning, and it doesn't give you the opportunity to learn from your Rebbe properly. You know that the Gemara says, well, habay shalomi, and the Rambam makes a very big deal out of it, and he says the person, if he's a mevayish, and he's a misvayish, and he doesn't have the guts to confront the Rebbe and say, Torah hiva lumad ani tzarich, he's going to spend his entire years in yeshiva and he won't know a thing. So he says, that's not a derech, lo ya baishan lomid. You're not allowed to be a baishan when it comes to Torah. So you have to say, Rebbe, I don't understand. And of course, the Rambam continues, b'med varim amurim, that the Rebbe has to have patience and chazur it over and over and over. That's b'med varim amurim, if it's genuinely because the tzachomer inyon, or because of his lack of capacity. Which, by the way, also teaches us a remarkable thing. That lack of capacity, Torah was not ivory tower stuff. It was not meant for princes. It was meant for everybody. But it's not just for everybody, as opposed to Sarim and Malachim. You could be a commoner, and you could be Oyla L'Torah. You could be a Ger, and you could be Oyla L'Torah. It's not just that. A person has a chelek in Torah, no matter where his mind is, no matter what IQ he has. It's a remarkable idea. And if a Talmud sits by a Rebbe, he's allowed to say to the Rebbe, I don't have that Yankel's capacity. I need to hear it again. Yeah. And the Rebbe is mechuyev to repeat it for him. During that time, Yankel, with his great capacity, may go out of his mind from boredom. Never mind. There's a halacha that a Rebbe is mechuyev to provide for his Talmidim. That's why the moment a person comes to your door and says, Yalamdeinu Rabbeinu, the Rebbe is stuck with him. And I have a very big raya, which I always mention. The Rambam says, what happens if you have a Talmud that is Eino Hogun? He's not Beseder. He's not Beseder in his Ashkof. He's not Beseder in his Midos. You're not allowed to teach such a Talmud Torah. It's an Isur Gomer to teach such a Talmud Torah. And if you teach such a Talmud, the Gemara has this very astonishing expression. It's Ke'ilu Zorek Eben Lamarkos. It's like Ovid Avodah Zorah. So what do you do next? So if somebody would have asked somebody today, what do? You say, you simply say, goodbye, good luck. You know, go fix yourself and come back later. The Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam says, so what do? First you fix him in his midos, you fix him in his hashkafos, and then you bring him into the shir. So I wanted to know, why is it your obligation to fix him? So I think that the answer is very yesodistic in terms of mitzvahs Talmud Torah. We start off with a possible imanatum of some is b'neichem. B'neichem is a biological phenomenon, but the real b'neichem. So why I'm a chuyif to teach him is obvious, because I gave birth to him. What about the Chaim Yankel that's in the street, the neighbor next door, the person in another city? Do I have an obligation for him? So the answer is, in principle, yes, because b'neichem elu ha-talmidim. But it's very interesting. It's elu ha-talmidim. So there's a catch-22 here, because he's not my Talmud yet. So when does he become my Talmud that I should have the obligation of limud ha-Torah? So you could say, which is not what I want to say, that just because you know, there are people who don't know, you got to find them and you have to teach them. And maybe there is something to that. But that's not the immediate chiyuv. The immediate chiyuv begins when someone comes to your door, knocks on the door, you open the door, and he says, teach me. Then he becomes a Talmud. But if he's not Hogun, you're stuck. So you have to make him your Talmud regardless. You have to teach that Talmud. But you can't teach that Talmud because he's not worthy of being taught. It's also to teach him. So you're stuck. So the answer is fix him and teach him. Part of your chiyuv, when he says, I want to be your Talmud, is to make him your Talmud lemaisa, which requires the prerequisite of turning him into a mensch, or whatever it is that he needs. So it's a remarkable idea. I think that the Rambam, if we take it and extrapolate it, you're never allowed to send the Talmud away. You just have to fix it. So if that's the case, the minute a person says Yilam Deinu Rabbeinu, you're mechuyev. The same thing is true of Elohim Habayish and Lamed. Why don't we say 5 times is more than enough? He has to go to a different shir. So Kapela Dikazach. What do you mean that the Rebbe has to keep chazering over and over? I don't understand. You don't understand because you have a fatem tekof. What do you want from me? The Rambam never said, let him go to another Rebbe. Or the Rambam never said that this Rebbe is for this person, this Rebbe is for that person. So what's the pshat? The pshat is apparently that if somebody says, I am your Talmud, you have a chiyuv to teach him his chelek and Torah. And whatever it takes. Now, how the Rambam negotiated the time frames and how he managed with everybody, that I don't know. He doesn't tell you. But it's a remarkable hashkofa. And it has tremendous ramifications, I think, halacha lemaisa. So what happens if you have a Rebbe that's not marlo upon him yofes? So the Rava says it could reach to such a point where his Mishnah is not sedura loy bechlal, and it's kosher alav even kabarzo. I had I have to tell you a remarkable episode. Every time I think about it, it makes me chuckle because it's amol given zeya yung. When I came into Rav Soloveitchik Shira, I was a very, very young boy. And at that time, unlike later in his life, he was sort of in the middle. In the early stage, he was very ferocious. His roch mora b'talmidim was very, very powerful. In that stage that I came in, it was somewhat modified, but not yet. So he was very tough. And he would make ashen blot of somebody if he thought that he didn't really know his stuff because he was lazy or he didn't prepare properly, etc. And he had a very great respect for the intellectual capacity of his talmidim, and he felt that if they weren't really up to par, it must be a chasaran in their assiduousness, in their hasmoda, in their shkida. And he let them have it. The fashteitzach that I was not interested in being torn to shreds. So I sat in, it was a difficult mesechta to begin with, and I sat there the first couple of weeks. My father, Zalzan Gesund and Stark, he put in tremendous stock in the idea that this is the place that I should become a Talmud Chacham. And I didn't go to the college at all. I just came to the shiur. That's all I did. And I had a chavrusis the whole day, and that was my life. But I couldn't hear the shiur. I couldn't pay attention to the shiur. I was one big cheftza of nerves, a bundle of nerves like you can't imagine, scared out of my wits. And in that matzav, I related very much to this Gemara. It's kosher lov kabarzo. After a couple of weeks, I said to myself, this is not a derech, so I'm going to leave. Because what's the point? But then I said to myself, oh, before, what about kibud av v'ev? I mean, that was like the criterion at the time. So I'm going to give it another try. I went back, Sivgonish Geholfen. So I said, what do I do? So I said to myself, I have to talk to him. You have to understand that's not pashut. So where do I go? In the yeshiva, it's the brachal of Atala. I'm going to talk to this ferocious tiger? No. In Boston, he was mellow as can be, with his balabatim, Ananda Menchigans. About, I'm not going to Boston. I was a little kid. A pshara. Tuesday nights, he gave a shir in Maria Shul in the West Side. And Balabatim used to come, and he was like, he used to play with the Balabatim. He used to yell at them, compliment them. It was very, it's a lot of fun watching. So I figured like this, after the shir, I'll go over to him and I'll tell him my problem. And Kachava, he finished the shir, there was a line of people talking to him. Finally, I caught him at a moment by himself before he went back into the car to go home, to go back to the yeshiva, to the dormitory room that he was in. And I say, my name is Aaron Khan. I know. Okay. So what do you want? What do I want? I want to run for my life. That's what I want. But Levisa, I'm here and I'm not running away. So I can't believe the conversation at Hayom. Because you see, you can't think. You can't cheshbon. You know, there's no plan. It's just whatever comes out. So I say, I'm getting an ulcer. So the next line was unbelievable.
He says, so that, I also have an ulcer.
I think he was thinking, I tell him I'm in the shir, and I'm getting an ulcer, it means I have to leave the shir. So he says, why do you have to leave the shir? I also have an ulcer. Doesn't Shabby from learning? So the next line, I can't believe that I know. I said, no, Rebbe, that's not what I mean. You're giving me an ulcer. He looks at me like totally puzzled, like he can't understand what I'm talking about. And he says, what do you mean? It's like a shveris sugya, you know, all of a sudden.
So I explained it to him. I said, I'm sitting there terrified out of my wits.
You never saw such a smile on a face in your life. The smile that was on his face. He suddenly saw this little kid. He caught the whole picture. His little kid is terrified from him. It's terrified from me. He's thinking to himself, like, how could that be? Like, you know, he doesn't have the whole thing. And he's looking at this little kid. He says, so what shall we do? I could never, what shall we do? So I said, well, I think if the Rebbe would agree not to call on me for the next couple of weeks, I think I'd be all right. All right, it's a deal. And the rest is history. 20 years, kemat. So lemaisa, the nekuda was, though, the punim, it's an incredible thing. And another thing that I learned, a Rebbe sometimes doesn't even realize the impact that he's making. Hein letoiv and hein chas v'sholem l'ra. And there's another thing about psychology. People who are, whatever reason, whatever their failure comes from, lemaisa, whatever really is the reason. But they need to have excuses. And I don't mean an excuse, a momentary issue and a momentary excuse. I mean a life excuse. Like, where did you go wrong? Why is your chavrusa a Rosh Yeshiva and you're somehow, like, you know, it never happened? So you know what the answer is? The eighth grade Rebbe. Why is it the eighth grade Rebbe? How could anybody make that kind of an impact? And lemaisa, you didn't go off the derech, you didn't stop learning. So what happened? Derech is a person a little bit lazy. The person didn't have the fire in his belly. But you can't, I'm not going to admit that the chesaron is in me. No. I don't want to admit that the chesaron is in me because that undermines my whole sense of self. So I have to find somebody that was guilty. So I have a Rebbe, and the Rebbe once told me that, you know, if you keep learning like this, you'll never amount to anything. Okay, so that's a musa shmuz. Some people take it to heart and they say, you know, he's right. Another person says, you know, what does he have against me? Why does he yell at me? Why is he screaming at me? And that is really a very big sakana. There are times, however, that it is really the reason. Not nearly as often. You know, I told you the Maisa many, many times. I went to get those batteries. I was going with the children. And I go into this store, this like tobacco store that has all these things. And I ask him for a couple of batteries for my tape recorder. And he doesn't even answer me. He says, you know why I'm not religious anymore? So this was like, you know, so I said, no, I don't. Because first of all, I want batteries. And secondly, I never saw you before in my life. How am I supposed to know? So he says, I'm going to tell you. He's a Zayid with a beard. I was much younger then, but I still had a beard. He was black. Zayid with a beard. He says, he must be a rabbi. I'm going to tell him why. And he tells me all song and dance that when his father was Nifter, he heard the person from the chapel, the rabbi, say that for $50, I'll give a hesped, but if you want a real hesped, you'll have to pay $100. So that's what took him off the derech. You understand very well that nothing like that can take a person off the derech. That's ridiculous. But a person looks for excuses. But it does happen sometimes. If a person has a bad year with the Rebbe constantly drilling into him, and for some reason the Rebbe finds him to be a threat, or the Rebbe finds, whatever it is. Listen, a lot of Rebbeim have problems of their own. They have tzaras, they have problems at home, they have parnosa issues, and they come in and expect it always to be al atzara yaseh tov, and they don't always match up.
And as much as we would be willing to forgive and forget, but lemaisa, sometimes the Talmidim are korbanos. They really are.
So this is the nekuda that he says over here, Rava. Im ra'isa talmid shalimuda kosher lov kabazo b'shvil rabbi she'enei mazbir leponim. Mai takante. What's his eitza? So look at the Lashon HaGemara. It's so cryptic. Yarbe olav reyim.
V'chayolim yagbe v'yisrin hachshu chochma. Kol shkeinim huchshru maisav b'fnei rabbi meikara. Zot Rashi. Yarbe olavreim lefayes heimenu. Sheyizbor loiponim. So the Talmud is in a Talmud structure.
This is such a remarkable thing. Sometimes when it's a gear to mechila, makosh is mechila. So he doesn't want to be meichel you, so you send people. By loisachmai, such an idea, that not only does he express his desire to own that object, and he wants you to sell it to me, you must sell it to me, but it doesn't go, so you get all your friends to pile up on him, yarbe olavreim. That's part of loisachmai. But how you admire Be'ol of Reyim with a Rebbe? It's like an unusual request that if the Rebbe is not good with this boy, with this Talmud, or with this younger man, or whoever he is, but it's a Rebbe. And if he's an older Talmud, because he's a Kala younger man, then the Rebbe must be an Adam Gavu Mi'ayi, because otherwise why is he going to him? So imagine somebody like Rebbe Yochanan or Rav or Resh Lakish or somebody, and you're his Talmud. So you're going to be Marbe Reyim. It's like an interesting thing. So I think that the pshat is that Rava is telling you a chiddush here, that there's no such thing as giving up. There's no, even to do almost the absurd. You have to send your chaverim, or the chaverim of the Rebbe, it doesn't say who's chaverim really, and they have to coax and prod the Rebbe that he should have a different outlook on this fellow. And then the kolshkein is interesting. Kolshkein.
Kolshkein what? Koshkeinim huchshuru maisav b'fnei rabbi meikara. So what? So look at the previous thing. Koshkeinim mishnasay zedura loy meikara.
So what is the koshkein before?
That. If a person sees that his mishnah is not seduro, then yarbe be yeshiva.
But this kolshkein means, but better it should have been that he doesn't have the problem to begin with. Which now means, better it should have been that you should have been good with your Rebbe from the outset. So I think that what he's trying to be merames to is that it's not just enough to sit by the Rebbe's feet. You have to develop a kesher, and you have to make the Rebbe feel that you are his Talmud Muvok, that you are his best Talmud, that you are thirsting for his Torah, that you can't live without him.
That's kolshkein if there's a relationship beforehand. The kolshkein shim huchshuru maisav b'fnei rabbi meikara. I think it's not just a coincidence if it happens that way, because in the kolshkein in Mishnas Sedura law, it didn't happen that way. He harved it all his life to prepare properly.
So what is this? He harvests to make sure that the Rebbe likes him. That he's moitzeh chein be'enei rabbi. It's a very interesting halacha.
So I was thinking to myself, in mitzvahs Talmud Torah, you have to become the best Talmud Chochem that you can be.
And since that requires a masayra, since that requires rebbeim, so you have to make sure that you get the most out of those rebbeim.
Which, if it's possible, a chesaron and a pagam of Rebbe Einoi Masbir Leiponim, you have to, as part of your mitzvahs Talmud Torah,
you are mechuyev to see to it that the environment for you is as perfect as it can be.
Which is a really an astonishing idea, but I think that's exactly what Rav is saying. Because with Kolshkein and Mukhshul, Rav is saying, it would have been nice if you had a good relationship with your Rebbe.
Well, of course it would have been nice. I need Rav to tell me that. It means you have to make it your business to make that happen, just like it have to make it your business to prepare well in advance of the shir, like Rish Lakish and Ravad. So here too, Benogeya, the relationship. So it's a very remarkable Gemara, very remarkable. I just want to continue with Zohar. The Zohar and the last shtiklach here, and finish with the Shalal. It'll take another few minutes, but it's very kedai. I don't want to stop here in the middle of the Inyan. It says here, Amar Rav Yosi. It's a Zohar in Shmais. Amar Rav Yosi Zaka Ol Chodod Zakinu Laimila. The path that I traveled, which led me to this understanding, it's fortunate am I that I had traveled on this path. Amar Le Miman Shamitla. He tells the whole story. So
The issue there is talking about a kosher bracha, and the pasuk that they're talking about is Har Beis Hashem. And Nochen Yir Har Beis Hashem Bereish Harim. It's not Nagayatas, but there's all in that the kosher bracha is above the Mem Tes Sha'arim. It reaches Kulay Taiv. It's a whole sugya in the Zayar. But this Shtikl Torah was taught to him, and then he writes, the Kivan de Shemana, when I heard this Torah, Chadina Bey, I was Meridik Tzefrid, and I rejoiced in it. V'natirna Le Tzarir B'kanfa de Levushoi de Lo Yisadi Minoy La'almin. I tied it to my pocket in such a way that it would never be lost forever. Of course, this is a remez. You have a pocket and you have coins, and you want to make sure that it doesn't fall out of your pocket. So they used to tie the pouch to the pocket itself. And the number of ksharim that you made, that was making it less and less likely that you would lose your money. So he says, I give an example. In Bereishis Rabbah, it says, "V'loizocha sar amashkim es Yosef ayishkocheyu." So the Medrash says a remarkable thing. We would have thought that the sar amashkim, once he got out free, he completely and totally forgot about it, and that was the end of it. But here it says, "V'loizocha vayishkocheyu." What's the pshat? "V'loizocha and vayishkocheyu." "V'loizocha" is "V'loizocha." So it says in the Medrash, "Kol oisa ayoyim hayomasnet tnoyim uba malach v'hoifchon." He used to make tnoyim. What does tnoyim mean? Conditions. But it means he tried to chazer over mnemonic devices, tricks, that he should remember that Yosef is in trouble and I'm going to remember him when I come out. And bo malach v'hoifchom, and the malach made him forget. Koysher k'shorim u'bo malach u'matiron. This is that remez. He's tying knots. You know, we tie knots around the finger. You know, so a knot is very helpful because you remember that you forgot something. You don't remember what it is, but you remember that you forgot something. So Lamai said that's what Koshek Ksharim is. Umalach bo matirun. Umalach kodesh bochu. Ad shechachtoi. Ani loy shechachtiv. Okay, so the Rebbeinu Shlom says, you'll see that it's going to come from me. It has to come from me. That's what the Rebbeinu Shlom is saying. So the Malach came and basically made him forget. Each time he tried to remember again, the Malach came and made him forget. So that's Koshek Shorim Matirim. So that's the Lashon over here. On Matirim Olet Sarer Bekanfa De Levushoi, the third line of the Zohar on top, V'lo Yis'adi, it will not be lost, Minoi La'olmen. Om Alei Vaday Mila Kadisha De Manhiru De Butzina Kadisha Esnayu. I see a tremendous light, etc., etc. Look at the bottom. V'i Ant Tzriris Lahai Mila B'kshara Chada D'lo Yis'adi Minoch. I who heard it from you, you tied it with one kesher, and no etzrelo betalsin oy barboim kishrin bekesoi de lo yisadi minoy lo omen. So his law was to hear this vart, kli shlishi already, was such that he said, I'm going to tie it with 30 knots, or 40 knots. So that's, of course, what does it mean? 30 knots, it's not a coin and it's not a pocket. But he means that I'll find a way, an etza, of how to repeat it and repeat it and to tie it down to me so that I don't lose it forever. So I had a very interesting thing. In the Siddur of the Reikeach, which is a very remarkable piece of Pirush on the Tefillah, Al Pi Derech HaKabbalah, he comes to Vayivarech David. He had the Nusach Sfard, Umaroimam Al Kol Bracha Usehila. And he said that Kodesh Baruch Hu is above and beyond any bracha or any praise. He's beyond. Meroimam al kol bracha sila. Atu Hashem levadecha. Yodata bracha utchilo haru'iyo lecha. You're the only one who really knows the bracha that is roi for you. No human being has that capacity. And he writes, Hamaloch matbea brachas vatilois v'holchos barosh. Hakovet shenem kvutzoysev taltalim. This is Kabbalah. Uksiv brachos l'roish, brachos l'roish tzadik. Adu levadcha yeder. The brachos that are roish, the tzadik, tzadikah shaloylam. You are the only one who knows. Vafilu kosher kishorim eino yodeya. So in the footnote it says, I'm not sure what he means. So I think I know what he means. He means that it's not going to help you to try to preserve the idea, because the chesaron isn't in the memory, it's in the Havana to begin with. So, afilu koshek ksharim eino yodeya. The knowledge that you need with koshek ksharim is not going to be good enough. That's what he means. Now, in the Sefer Dvash Lefi of the Chidah, Chidah wrote many, many Sfarim. One of the Sfarim is called Dvash Lefi. In Mareches Mem, it's Mesuda according to the Aleph Beis. B'Talmud B'kama M'koyma Is'amru Tonu Minei Arboim Zimnei V'damuli Keman G'manach B'kizte. He learned it 40 times and it was like it was in his pocket. We have that expression even in English. You know, it's as if it's in my pocket. And he writes further about Poshut Bozeh, the minyan arboim zeh shel arboim who keneged arboim yoim shenitna Torah k'mosh amru b'tanis. That's the Gemara that we had. Va'id efshar keneged arboim yoim shel yitziras havlad who keneged arboim malkiyos k'mosh amru b'medrash tanchuma va'efshar keneged dalid yudin d'shemayin vei shemayol zechira. So he has all kinds of remosim. Umashikos of Arav Shila Sholem Shom Amasha Amru Gabishmuel Be'inyan Amasla Tana Minei Arboim Zimnin, that he taught him this halacha 40 times. The Arboim Pam Shal Mirav B'maisim She'iru Lo Ayin Shom Lo Yishmi Ali. V'poshutu D'zez Segula D'milvad Shalo Yishkach Eloyiyah Neged Einov Tomid L'hakshay Sulitaritz V'kayotzei. This is the only reason I brought this chidah, was for these three lines. Because these three lines emphasize something that I was meramis to earlier, and they're so important. Because he wants to know, Shmuel's the Chagoin HaGoinim, what's the problem? Why does he have to chazer it over 40 times? So he says that he thinks the reason is because there's a difference between knowing something and having something present in the forefront, in front of your eyes, as it were, at all times. And this is a very remarkable thing. You look at person learns a sugya, and then he opens up a discussion with a goyin olam. You go knock on Reb Moshe's door. You say, I just finished learning this sugya be'i, and I'd like to talk and be mefalpa with it, if you don't mind. So he says, come right in. And then you start talking, and before you know it, he's with you in the sugya, literally as if he learned it 5 minutes ago. The only difference is with his mind. And how could that be? When 10 minutes before, he's in the middle of writing a tshuva about another inyan, and in yeshiva, he's giving a shiur on a different masechta altogether. Where does that come from? How could it be? It says even in the Gemara that if your Rebbe is Isaac in one masechta, you shouldn't ask him in another masechta. The Teretz is this acute consciousness, it never left him. And he had this incredible capacity. His capacity was so enormous that he was able to have an acute sense of every single sugya and shas. All right, that's an unbelievable madrega of yediyas haTorah, but the single-mindedness that is necessary, even for a genius of geniuses, to acquire that is unbelievable. And that is the Shmuel after the 40 times, as opposed to the Shmuel before the 40 times. And it seems that there's only one segula here, and that's to chazer it over and over and over again. Many, many times that people come back and ask me, what exactly is it that you said? All right, people are not mechuyif to chazer over this shiur or any other mashiur 40 times. You have other things to do and better places to learn. But no one is going to be able to say, I remember it because I heard it and I understood it. And that's exactly what he's saying. He's saying exactly this. He says, what's the Lashon? The segula for this is that it should be constantly on the forefront in front of your eyes. The Shlo HaKadosh, which I'm not going to go into be'iyun, but he has a protocol of how it is that you are going to remember the Torah that you learned. So several of the things that he mentions, he says like this, Mem Tes. Let's start from the beginning, just very quickly. Misha Ritzainer Lilma Yasser Tomid Limudoy V'Yovin V'Yizkar. And he quotes the Gemara in Tainus. And then he says, and he quotes the whole Gemara, Mem Tes. V'Adam Yochol Lavzo Talmudo Afilu Meya Pa'amim V'Eino Nikra Yehavir Elukim. Gidaga Sinem Per Kamad Chagiga Amalei Ben Heye Lehilo Maidach Siv V'Shaftan Ritzim Beit Tzadik L'Rosh V'Eino Yehavir Elukim L'Asher Lo Yavodoy. Hainu Tzadik, Hainu Yehavir Elukim, Hainu Rosh, Hainu Lo Yavodoy. Why the redundancy? Amalei Yehavir Elukim V'Lo Yavodoy Tarvayu Tzadik Gemurininu. But they're two different people. Because Eino Yehavir Shoyne Pirkei Meya Pa'amim L'Misha Shoyne Pirkei Meya Pa'amim Kachas. One of the interpretations that's given for this is that they had a system, because everything was Baal Peh, that when a Talmud on his first level started learning something, he chazered it over 100 times. That was the formula for remembering, and that was the common avodah of every Talmud in that yeshiva. The person stopped at 100 because 100 was the requirement, and by that time he was exhausted from chazering over. The person who says, I have to do it one more time, is a simon that Torah by him is the Shpitz Yiras Ramayim. And it's something that Chas V'Sholem, under no circumstances is he allowed to forget, because this isn't knowledge, this is Hashem. That's why the person who chazes it over that extra time, which is not part of the requirement of the curriculum, that person is called an Oyved Elokim. He says, Tarvayu Tzadiki Gemuri. But ain't I doing Moshe Nepirka? Amalei Mishum Chada Zimni Yisera Karolei Lo Yavodai. Amalei In. He says, yeah. That's what he says. And then he quotes the Gemara in Maseches Brachos. Reb Chiya Bar Abba. That's Nun. Ois Nun. Daflamet Chesamet Beit. Reb Chiya Bar Abba Kol Talsin Yoyim Mahadet Talmudei Kamed Reb Yochanan Rabbi. He has it over his entire Torah that he learned from his Rebbe every 30 days. And the Lashon HaTosfos, Lav Dafka Kol Talmudai, as I just told you, what he heard from his Rebbe those 30 days. Asher Yoloimid Kol Shloshim Yoim, HaYachayzer HaKol Lefano B'Yoim Shloshim Yechot. Seif Masachas Brochus HaSketsu Shema Yisrael, Has V'Chakach Kateis. Kedarava, Dama Rava Loilun Yumalom Torah V'Chakach Yege, Pirish Rashi, that Has is be silent. Shesoik V'Hazin L'Shmoscha, like V'Yahas Kolev. Don't say one chiddush. Don't say one word. Even if you don't fully understand it, then chew it apart, crush it, grind it. Even if you'll lose some things, or even if you won't understand it fully, says, I learned so much and I still didn't know this yesod. So the whole of it is that look at the bottom of that paragraph. Mizem muchach, the ligmar inish tchila harbe v'chakach yisragel be'iyun. In other words, you're not supposed to understand everything when you're learning it for the first time. You should cover as much as you can, and at the same time, you should be able to have time left later in your life to go back to everything and learn it be'iyun once you've mastered the chomer itself. And now on the bottom, he says something that many yeshivas follow today. There's a Seder called Iyun, and there's a Seder called Bekiyus. And this goes all the way back to the time of the Shua HaKadosh. V'ashrei misha yivchar v'yotze yidei shneyem. V'noye kifi masher ro'isi noye gimhar b'chachomim shleimim. V'haynu, shalemdim kol yoyim talmud mishnei mesechtes. They learn Gemara, and they learn two separate mesechtes. Masechus achas loimdim b'yharbe b'merutza b'li Iyun gadol. V'chakach masechus acheres loimdim b'ma'at u'b'iyun b'pilpul v'chidut. So it's very interesting how that reconciles with the idea that everything should come first. Yeah. They do the Iyun, the brunt of the day, and then they do a Seder of the Kiyus. Well, the truth of the matter is, everybody has said this, and there is an element of truth, that's for sure. When you're competing with the world out there, things have to be exciting, and there's no shaila about it. That there's much less exciting to learn and to chazer and to learn words and to know words and to know basic pshat, because your mind is saying, but what does this mean and what does that mean, and let's think about this, and you don't want to allow the time to think, it becomes very, very, very difficult for a person who has curiosity, for a person who wants excitement. And when you have the excitement of the world the way it is today, that everything is open to you, Allah is kama v'kama. That's why Rebbeim, even in the... I want to show you something very interesting. Somebody gave me a little sefer that he printed up from his Talmud. Yeah, it's called Baruch Shekivanti. And it has, following the parashiyos of Chumash going from Truma to Pekudei and Vayikra, and the beginning of Maseches Yuma and Megillah. So it has Psukim, and it says the Pasuk, and Baruch Shekivein, Habocher Yaakov, so and so, Habocher Chanachenach, so and so, the Kushyasam. And then he quotes the Malbim and the Nitziv's Kasha that they were Mechavim to. And that's how he goes. The whole Sefer is his Talmidim's Baruch Shekivanti. What Kita are we talking about? Kita Dalet.
Fourth grade.
That's what you have to do today. You have to tell a fourth grader, you know the kasha that you just asked? I remember I was a drop older, not much older, and I was in a shir, and I was learning a Gemara, and I asked the kasha, and the Rebbe was a fantastic Rebbe, Rabbi Shafchik Zecharo Livracha, Yaakov Yosef. So he started jumping up and down. He said, did you hear that kasha? Did you hear that kasha? Did you hear that kasha? You know who asked that kasha? Who asked that kasha? I see the scene right now. And I was mamish glowing. I was mamish in Zivit and Himmel. Who asked the kasha? Rabbi Kiva Eger asked this kasha. Then I got my upcomings for being such a balgaiva, being so excited with myself. So he says, "Nu, Aaron, repeat the kasha." But I got so excited, I forgot what the kasha was. But anyhow, the Uptish Teshura is that's what you have to do. So today, to tell Talmidim that you should learn Bekiyas, it's not so poshut. There are shitas and places, you know, the different methods. But one thing is crystal clear at the same time, and without any doubt whatsoever, that when a person learns and he doesn't chazer it over, and because of that he doesn't have it clearly, and he doesn't remember it, there is ein lecha meyaish gadol mizeh. There's no single weapon in the hands of the sultan who wants you to stop learning at all costs than to say, the year is over, what do you have in your pocket? And when a person says, I don't know, I have a little bit of this, a little bit of that, some things I remember better, some things I remember worse, he says to you, what are you talking about? You don't remember anything. Because nothing is mesuda, nothing is clear. Could you get up and repeat any particular shiur off the top of your head that your Rebbe gave? The answer is no. So what's the Reisach? This is not for you. Go out into the world and become something with yourself. So this is a tremendous nisayon, tremendous. So if a person, chachameinu bereisha, he says it's a little bit difficult, and maybe quote-unquote boring, but Yira Shamayim says there's nothing to do with boring. Torah is the Ribbono Shel'olam's Torah. But even so, boring. But this boring will give you the foundation and you'll remember. And when you'll remember and you'll know, you'll feel good about yourself, which will propel you further in a way that will allow you to the excitement of Torah as well. So that's what I wanted to share with you, Bezos Hashem.